The Gross Profit Podcast is your one-stop shop on the path to profitability. Each week, we share authentic advice on the positive, practical steps you can take to make the company you love more profitable. If you're looking for a positive plan to help you avoid common spending mistakes, control costs, and increase your profits, then this is the place for you. I'm Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined by James Kennedy and Garrett Carraher. In this episode of the Gross Profit Podcast, James and Garrett share some profitable ways to manage supplier relationships. Your supply chain plays a critical role in the cost and profitability equation of your company. Your suppliers both enable and limit the services you provide to your customers and help shape the financial matrix you operate within. It's no wonder businesses place a great value on their relationships with their suppliers. As you develop meaningful relationships with your suppliers, it's important to understand that your initial deals aren't fixed. Rather, you can actively manage these deals with key suppliers to create new conditions that are beneficial to both parties. These arrangements allow you to cut costs and bring more business to your supplier, creating win-win scenarios for both parties involved. On this episode, you'll hear why you're only as good as your suppliers. The right supplier can be a competitive advantage if used correctly, and it's important to remember that not all suppliers are equally important to your business. Next, we'll discuss how to analyze your suppliers using the Kraljic Matrix. The Kraljic Matrix is a simple model that allows you to organize your suppliers according to their profitability and supply risk. Then we'll go over some useful tips for working with your leverage clients. You'll want to help these clients consolidate their costs to gain a competitive advantage. After that, we'll talk about how to arrange beneficial agreements with your strategic suppliers. With these suppliers, you will want to use key performance indicators, or KPIs, to set meaningful agreements and review progress. Finally, we'll share some ways you can gather feedback on your suppliers. By rating your suppliers and checking reviews left by other customers, you can reward good performance and quickly address other problems. If you're looking for some ways to get the most out of your supplier relationships, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with James and Garrett.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Gross Profit Podcast. My name is James Kennedy. I'm the CEO and at ProcurementExpress.com, we help hundreds of companies spend billions of dollars safely each year. I am joined by my regular co-host, Garrett Carraher, who is discussing a secret CFO working somewhere in the bowels of industry in Ireland with over 20 years experience in finance. And we are just about nerdy enough, the two of us, to get excited about things like supplier management and account coding and project management. And if you are also interested in that sort of stuff, you are in the right place. Garrett, how are you today?
Good, James. How's things? You know, and I don't work in the bowels. I work in the upper echelons of finance in here in Ireland. So it's all good, you know?
Ivory tower of finance. That's probably it. Yeah. Okay. So today we debated a little bit about how to title this, but it's all about actively managing your suppliers to cut costs. Subtitle, the very least you should know about managing suppliers. And we've got 5 points we're going to run through today about how you should and maybe why you should look at your suppliers, an often underappreciated resource in your company. So maybe, Garrett, you can kick us off with our first point.
Yeah, so I think important point that some people don't realize with suppliers, like it is, it's, if you think of the supply chain from Porter supply chain, if you think about that, it's all about one of the key aspects is your suppliers, and supplier can actually become a competitive advantage for your business if used correctly. So if you have the right suppliers supplying you the right items, the right products at the right time, you can use them to cut your costs, deliver better value to your customers, and also reduce waste. So someone, if we think about in Ireland, someone we can straight away, we can think about is someone, a large business here, which was Dell. And Dell was based down in Limerick. And what Dell brought was just-in-time, the just-in-time suppliers. And they basically had their suppliers right beside their factory. And the suppliers would could log into the Dell systems, and they would know when a delivery was required. So effectively, Dell were holding no stock, you know, no component stock or part stock to be able to build their items, to build their computers. So Dell would actually receive in an order across the from their website, looking for a particular computer. This would then, the parts that were needed to build this would go down through their systems. It would go out to the suppliers who were actually based around their plant there in Limerick. And the supplier then would load up the exact amount that was required, and that would get delivered in to Dell for them to manufacture the laptop or PC and ship that out the same day. And now, obviously, they weren't doing this. They weren't just delivering for one part. They were obviously delivering for thousands of computers at a time. But it was an incredibly smart way to leverage their supply chain and really make that part of their competitive advantage. If you think about the advantages there, the massive advantages, they're not going to have any obsolete stock. They're not going to have any stock that is wasted. They're not going to lose stock through pilferage or someone misplacing stock. So it really was, and they always have the latest components. So it's really a super smart idea. So that's going to kick off there. And why supply chain is so important and why you need to understand it and really actively manage it and use it to cut your costs.
Well, it strikes me that, I mean, in a lot of companies, the lion's share of costs will come through third party to your downstream supply chain. And it hits me that, you know, here at Procurement Express, we use something called the Entrepreneurial Operating System, where we have quarterly reviews for our staff, annual reviews, we have targets, we have KPIs at the wazoo, and we don't actually do really any of that, even though some of our supply with our suppliers, like some of our suppliers have a bigger impact on our profit than our staff do, and yet we spend way more time managing staff for human obvious reasons for best practice. But there's an opportunity there for a lot of businesses, I think, to maybe think about your suppliers in a different way. Like, you can leverage them for sure. I mean, that's the classic. But maybe also, if you were to consider them as a resource like anyone else, you have your human resources, vendors or suppliers can be more than that if you bring them into the fold and show them a little love. So we're going to talk about some ways of doing that. The first step is to identify not all suppliers are born evenly, and not all of them have the same impact on your business. So the first step you want to do in getting more from your supply chain or your suppliers is to do an analysis. Now, there is a famous in procurement circles. If you hang out with those people, they will tell you all about the Kraljic matrix, which is a 2x2 matrix used to categorize suppliers and try and identify which ones you should be investing time in, which ones you should be not, which ones you should leverage, which ones you should build strategic relationships with. And the Kraljic matrix evaluates every supplier along two dimensions. The first is their profit impact. So how much money are you spending with these suppliers, and how much are they impacting on margin? So some suppliers you're spending a lot of money with them, but they don't impact on, or you won't be spending much money with them and they won't impact on margin, but others will have a bigger impact. So Garrett, would you say the total amount you spend with someone impacts on the profitability, or can you be spending comparatively smaller amounts on some suppliers, but actually they can have a disproportionate effect on your profitability?
Well, as you said there, it's all about going through that matrix and putting the different suppliers into different matrix, and it's different parts of the matrix. And it's all about having the information there to allow you to do that. In relation to your question, you know, from my experience, you know, you really, if a supplier has a, if you have a large spend with a supplier, then you can leverage that, or you can do something with that. If you have a small spend, it's hard to do something. So really, with purchasing, size does matter, James, unfortunately. So if you're not spending the money, it's very hard. If you can say to someone, I have a £10 million spend and I can reduce it by 1%, that's 100,000 of a saving. Whereas if you're only spending 100,000 with someone and you say I can reduce it by 1%, that's only 1,000 of a saving. So you really need to look at your big suppliers, first of all, because they can really move the bar. So small changes with your big suppliers can really make it, and they're easier to negotiate as well, because you can talk to them and run through stuff with them. And something I actually did in a business we were in was we decided to, and this is how you can actively manage your suppliers and cut your costs immediately, is we decided to set up a preferred supplier scheme. So the way that worked was we looked at who we were spending a lot of money with. So in that particular business, turnover was 80 million euros a year. And when we looked at who we're spending money on, and we're spending a lot of money on the business supplied, we supplied facility management to companies, big pharma companies and other companies like that. So when we looked at our spend, we were spending a lot of money on catering and a lot of money on cleaning consumables and cleaning equipment, cleaning materials. So what we did immediately was we got in our suppliers. So we got in our catering suppliers. So we're buying a huge amount of them. In Ireland, that would have been suppliers like Musgraves. And we also got in the people we're buying a lot of cleaning stuff off. And what we were able to do then is we said to them was, but currently we buy off yourselves and we buy off maybe four other suppliers. What we will do is we will make you a preferred supplier and we will consolidate our purchasing with yourselves. Now, this, of course, is very attractive to any salesperson in any company. They're always looking for more sales. So if you can offer them something like that, where you say, we are going to move all our spend, and the spend would have been substantial, obviously, in an 80 million turnover company, and we say, we're going to move the spend to you, that's very attractive. And they will agree then to different terms. So first of all, you say, bring them in, say, we're going to make you a preferred supplier. We're going to offer you something that we're going to move all the spend to you. And the final thing then is you need to monitor and follow that up, because a lot of them will say to you then, yeah, that sounds okay, but I know that your Galway branch always buys off this particular supplier, in a local supplier. How are we going to become preferred supplier in that area? So you need to say we can actually follow this up and enforce it. And the way we enforced it actually at the time was using the Procurement Express software, because we could allocate on that this was a preferred supplier. And then when people went to buy particular items, it would show if they were buying off a preferred supplier or not. So at the time, the people might still buy off they might still go and say, oh, I'm going to buy off this fella. It's a local person. I have a relationship with this person. But actually, the way it was enforced then, it went for approval through the approval matrix to the next level. And the manager then would come back and say to the person, hold on, you're buying off a local Joe, so you need to buy off the preferred supplier list, because we're getting a lot of money back by buying off them. So we've said we're going to buy off these people. We need to buy off them now to get our money back. So that's the way it was enforced. And the way then we got our money back, of course, was to a thing called rebates. So we would say, based on a spend of 5 million, we get 0.5% back in rebates. And that would go straight back to our bottom line, so straight back as profit. So it was actually worked out very well for the business. And I know for a fact we must have saved maybe 200,000 on the first year of that. And that went straight to the bottom line. And with no loss of service, no loss of, we're still getting the same product, the same goods, the same materials. So no effect really. And for very little work, just bringing them in and chatting it through with them. So that was my experience anyway of dealing and setting up a preferred supplier strategy and monitoring and using it.
Well, the interesting thing about those two examples you read, so catering and cleaning supplies, was that they are both what you might call have a low supply risk, in that you can, they're commodities effectively, and you were able, there's plenty of choice in the market. So people were able to, you're able very easily to effectively pitch one against the other, which is the second step of the Kaljic matrix, which is to basically, once you've identified your top suppliers, I think we can roughly say that's going to be your top 20% of suppliers by spend. Take a look at those and go through and mark out the ones which have a lot of choice in the market. So there's a lot of market choice, which means they can become leveraged suppliers for, you know, a strategy like that. Actually is a nice strategy where you can get a rebate going, not necessarily always about pushing them down on price, but you might be able to actually add value to them. I mean, the traditional idea is if you're leveraging people, you're playing one off the other to try and minimize price. But what I like about your story, Garrett, is that actually everybody wins, right? It was a way of doing that, but it was, you know, obviously your preferred suppliers were happy. Everyone was happy out of it. So yeah, nice story. So the next thing is you got to look at the items for which, you know, your top suppliers by gross spend who for whom there is not a lot of market choice, but are still important to your business. So these guys are going to be the ones that you maybe can want to consider doing some of the basics you might do for some of your staff, but maybe for these suppliers as well. So this is for suppliers where there isn't a lot of market choice. There are not many alternatives for it, but they're very key to running your business. So the important thing here is to treat them like you would any other important resource, which is consider setting up perhaps, you know, annual or even quarterly review meetings with them, agreeing KPIs for performance like you would for any staff member, perhaps considering as well as penalties possibly, but as well equally weighting incentives so that you can sort of come up with a win-win strategy so that both people can win at the same time. So those two strategies we've identified there can actually make a big impact, like you said, like Garrett's story, straight to the bottom line. And it's something that the finance team can actually take a lead on to impact on profit straight away. And it's nice to be adding to the profit rather than just worrying about costs all the time. Or maybe not. Maybe just worrying about costs is the natural homestead of the finance team. What do you think, Kurt?
I think a lot of what finance can affect is cost. So that's maybe why they look at that a lot. But on the other side, I think a good management or commercial accountant should be able to help a business drive in a particular direction to increase their profitability and not always just cutting costs, you know. So there's two sides there to any finance team, you know. One is to help the cost go down, but they should be also have commercial acumen to help drive the business forward.
And did salespeople fall off their chair when you called them up and said, come in, I want to talk to you about giving you a ton more business? And did you do that for a couple of suppliers and see who gave you the best option? Or did you just sort of make a call on who was giving you the best service?
Well, first of all, you need to talk to ops as well and understand who their preferred supplier would be. So they might say to you, okay, you know, supplier X might be cheaper or might give you a better deal, but actually they cause a lot of headaches for us. And overall, it's actually going to work out more expensive. So, you know, you first of all have to understand if they can actually deliver on what they're saying they can deliver on. If they can't even do that, they're not even at the table. So you need to understand that part initially. And once you've got that, then you can bring in a number. But you usually find that one of them is bigger than the others. And that's probably the one you want to focus on. It probably is the better one. And so you'll bring in one supplier who's already maybe got 60% of the business. And you'll say to him, I can give you the other 40%. And all we need is some rebates back or to agree a price decrease from today. And they're more than happy to do it because, after all, they want to get the rest of your business and they want to become a preferred supplier. Like it's a win-win for everyone. It's not like you're saying, I just want a price cut and that's it. It's actually everyone's benefiting. So most suppliers would be happy. Now, of course, you know, one of the things you need to be is you need to be buying a good bit off them. So it's no point in bringing in someone who you're buying 50 quid worth of stationery off a month. Like they're not going to care. They're just going to say, why have you brought us in here? You need to be doing big spend and you need to be a company who's buying a few quid and has options to buy off other people. So they're the key things to begin with. But once you have that, actively managing them will work to your benefit and to deliver significant additional profit straight away.
Great. So the last thing you can do is, you know, evaluating supplier performance. So when you set KPIs, you can evaluate their performance. A feature which we've just rolled out at Procurement Express in the last month, which I like a lot, is the ability, once you take delivery of service, is to give your supplier a star rating out of 5. And what this quickly does is it builds up a database of which suppliers are performing and which aren't, very much like you might see on Amazon. And you might be surprised sometimes where, you know, actually, especially if you have a workforce that is ordering from a particular supplier, they get to add their comments there. And each time they're making a purchasing decision, they get to look at those reviews as well to see what have other people been saying about these suppliers. And it's a quick and easy way of rewarding good suppliers and rooting out problems and escalating them quicker. Because oftentimes you might find that the finance team have no idea that there's poor performance being delivered to the ops team. And the ops team aren't talking, or haven't got it. They might be distributed amongst different locations. They don't realize they're all getting poor performance. This is a way of identifying that earlier and getting more from those suppliers and possibly switching out that supplier if they're not looking after you properly, giving you a competitive advantage in the marketplace. Okay, so here we are. We've talked over five steps, I guess, when it comes to getting more from your suppliers. First is to realize that, you know, you're only as good as your weakest link in your supply chain, and your suppliers may contribute a lot to your company's success. So it's worth considering them in that light. Second thing is you want to break them out by their profit impact, amount of money you're spending with them versus risk. That'll allow you to split them into strategic versus leverage suppliers. The strategic guys, you maybe want to consider setting up KPIs with to improve performance and share rewards, coming up with a win-win. Leverage suppliers, Garrett went over a great strategy for helping them maybe consolidate spend to a couple of suppliers in order to gain a cost advantage. And then finally, consider having a system in place, such as procurementexpress.com, which allows you on an ongoing basis for all your staff to gather feedback on suppliers. Is that good, Garrett?
Sounds good, James. That's cool. And is there an email address for people to contact us with any questions?
Yeah, there is. You can get us at podcast@procurementexpress.com. You can also get a copy of the book Garrett and I are writing, all about which covers supplier management, risk, embezzlement, accounting mistakes, a range of other topics to help you improve profitability. You can get it at book.procurementexpress.com. Totally free chapter available on embezzlement and how to avoid the worst risks there. That's all we have. Another one in the can. That's what they say.
Good to talk to you again, James, as always.
Cheers, Garrett. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up our conversation with James Kennedy and Garrett Carher. They shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how you can take an active role in your supplier relationships to cut costs and maximize profitability. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. Don't forget to click on one of those links to get a free chapter from the book Profit Leaks by James Kennedy and Garrett Carher. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Gross Profit Podcast.